guess what I have to say this morning is maybe a little different than sometimes on Mother's Day. I'd like to look at an account that's in the book of Luke this morning, and some of y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Luke is the only one that gives us this account. In fact, I want to look at two instances in the book of Luke that I believe is exclusive to the book of Luke. One is a parable and the other is an actual account of something that happened while Jesus was here on the earth, and Luke has recorded it for us. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, and notice the last few verses of this chapter. It says here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So I'd like to speak to us primarily about Martha this morning. I know a lot has been said in the past of how Mary chose the better part. But I'd like to talk to us about Martha. As far as I know, Luke is the only one that gives us this account. Other Gospels tell us about Jesus visiting Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and we have the account where Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, and Mary and Martha both quizzed Jesus as to why he didn't come sooner. And we know those stories. Those three names are something that are always it's like saying Peter, James, and John, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Those names just fit together because they're so intertwined. It's a little unusual circumstances here because it appears that Martha is the older sibling and her two younger siblings are living with her. That's just supposition. We don't know that for a fact. It's also pretty certain that this happened. This certain village was Bethany. In John, the 11th chapter in verse 1, I believe it talks about, it connects this Mary and Martha and Lazarus to Bethany as being the place where they lived. And Bethany was about a mile and a half to 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So we'd say today it was in the suburbs of Jerusalem. But I'm interested today in what kind of woman Martha was. There's another account that we will touch on real briefly before we dig in very deep here. Is in Luke, the 15th chapter, we have a parable that Jesus taught beginning in verse 25 about the prodigal son. That's not where the parable starts. The parable starts at verse 11, but we want to start in verse 25, and we're going to read about the reaction of the older brother. We don't know his name, unless you do. I don't know his name. His name, he just referred to as the elder son. It says, "Now this elder son," verse 25, "was in the field as he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him, and answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and it's found. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of parallel between Martha and this elder brother. The elder brother and Martha were both busy about good things. And I will tell you that if I had lived in the time of Christ, I could have fit in one or the other of these stories. Because I was raised in an environment, I've told my wife and maybe others, my mother disciplined me for misbehaving, my father disciplined me for not working. And he taught me by his example and what he required of me that when I saw something that needed to be done, that I was to do it. I wasn't to ask if I could or not, I was just to do it. So I was raised that way. I was the older brother in the home, and it was easy for me to step into that role. And today, one of my greatest trials in life is to walk in and see things that need to be done and people not doing it. Okay, if I come to your house and there's something in disrepair and you're well able to do it and you didn't do it, then my big question that I have to get over is why. I don't know why, because it don't make sense to me. This is just my head. This is the way who I am. If I see somebody walk along and they won't pick up a piece of trash, that was a big trial to my dad. If I see someone that won't close the door when they open it or turn off or on or whatever needs to be done, it's like, help me, Lord, not to say something. Okay? I could have been the elder brother in that story. Because what the younger brother did was absurd. He went and wasted his inheritance and spent it in a way that the other brother just could not bring himself to do. And I want us to get a hold of Martha was the same caliber of woman. Did you notice the first verse that we read there in Luke the 10th chapter in the 38th verse? It says, Now it came to pass as they went. Who was they? I believe it was more than Jesus. It's very likely that it was Jesus and at minimum his 12 disciples. At the beginning of this chapter, it talks about him sending out the 70. And the 70 were sent out after the full 12 disciples had been assembled. And he had been going about his ministry. And the 70 were an addition to that. So I don't know if it was the 70 plus the 12. But for Martha's sake, I hope it was just the 12. All right. So as they went, they came. They entered into a certain village, and I believe this was Bethany by circumstantial evidence. And I believe they came to this house of this woman named Martha, and she received them. Now, it's one thing for you to come to somebody's house. It's another thing for them to open the door and welcome you in and offer you hospitality. But that's what she did because she felt like that's something that she should do and could do. And the reason she could and would is because she was in a place, most likely financially. Some people believe that she was the widow of Simon the leper. I don't know. I don't know how they come to that, other than Jesus had been entertained or had visited Simon the leper in Bethany. That account is in another gospel. I don't know if that supposition is correct or not. We don't know anything other. There's no connecting points that's just real definite. That's just a supposition that she might have been the widow of Simon the leper. And he might have been someone with enough means left to support his wife if he was gone. And maybe he was still alive. It doesn't say she didn't have a husband. It just talks about Martha. So we know that Martha invited, at minimum, 13 men that had been traveling into her house. They were friends. They were good friends with Lazarus. There was a level of almost family-like connection there. And she invited them in. They got dirty feet. They got hungry bellies. They probably need a place to sleep. So what do you think Martha did? She got busy. She started providing the things that you provide for travelers that stop at your house. I'm sure, I don't know who done the feet washing, but it was customary in that time. Maybe there was a servant in the house. Maybe there was somebody that was doing the lion's share of the cooking, but Martha was busy about setting the table, procuring the food, and I don't know, maybe she was doing it all. I got that picture in my mind that Martha was busy about doing that. Was there anything wrong with what Martha was doing? There wasn't a thing wrong with what Martha was doing. What about the older brother that was out in the field plowing? You know, right now is a busy time for the farmers in this area. Some of them have got all their corn planted. Some of them don't. Anita and I came by a field this morning on the way to church, and we got to talking about it. They had planted a cover crop. Then they sprayed it, and they planted corn, and the corn was coming up. And we come by it this morning, and they've worked the ground and planted it again. So I don't know what was going on, but they've been busy. It's the right time of the year for a farmer to be busy. He was busy. He'd not only busy that day, but he had been consistently busy. He'd done whatever his father had asked him to do. And I want to spend just a little bit of time on dwelling on what they were doing that was right. Okay? I'd like to look at the scriptural principles that we have. If we go to Proverbs chapter 31 and we begin reading in verse 10, we find some of the attributes of a virtuous woman. And nowhere in that last part of that chapter of Proverbs 31 do you find that a virtuous woman is to go sit at the feet of somebody. They don't say that. It talks about her spinning wool. It talks about her clothing her family. It talks about getting up at night and preparing food. It talks about all of the stuff that Martha was doing. Right? We're not going to read it. I'm just going to try to paraphrase that. You know that story. I could read all of those verses, and I think all of those things, you would say, yep, Martha lines up with that caliber. That's the type of person that she was. And we could go to Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, a very familiar verse if you listen to me very much, and it's one I try to live by. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. When I die, I'm not going to be able to physically do anything. We all know that. And while I'm here, I want every lick to count. That's just who I am. I want to do what I can. And when I can't, I won't. But as long as I can, I will, by the grace of God. In Judges, I'd like for us to look here. It says here in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16. It says, among all this people, and it was talking about people that were prepared to take up arms, to be a soldier. And he says here, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed, which is, I believe it was peculiar then, just like it's in the minority today. Left-handed men, everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. How many stones do you have to sling before you get accurate enough to be within a hair's breadth? That's about 1.5 to 2 thousandths, if y'all need to know that, of an inch, and not miss. To have that level of accuracy, slinging stones, you didn't do that on the third one. Okay? These people were a force to contend with. You didn't want them to pick up a rock and put it in their sling and start whirling around your head. Somebody is fixing to get hit. It was not, oh, look out, something's fixing to fly through there. It was, there is going to be some damage done. And they got that way by slinging lots of stones from probably a little bitty boy. They had diligently applied themselves. This sound like Martha? This sound like the elder brother? It does to me. And then let's look at another person. And this even connects what God's will is. Let's go to Exodus, the 35th chapter. And let's look at verse 30 beginning. This is another favorite place in my Bible to point young men in particular to. And it said, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Same tribe that Jesus was from, right? Just want us to catch that little detail. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, pay attention to that, and wisdom, in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So he says that he has filled this man with the Spirit of God, and he adds to that some details. He said, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And then he goes to tell what this will produce. He says, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. Now that's a big paintbrush. It can include a lot of things. But he gets even closer to that than that. He hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of engravings and of cunning workmen and of an embroider in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. So it was God's blessing, his anointing, his inspiration, his will, his purpose for Bezalel and Aholiab, both of them to be able to do things like Martha and the elder brother. So if you complain about working and wish you could do something inspirational, I want to challenge you to be thankful that you have something that you can do. And that's part of God's blessing and his ordination for you as humanity. There is a whole lot of living that we need to do. We need to be capable people. If you're a stone slinger, be a good one. Practice until you can hit it within a hair's breadth. If you're going to be a weaver, be a good one. And not only that, this man was able to teach somebody else. Have you ever seen a real professional that couldn't teach anybody anything? And when they died, everything they knew seemed to die with them. It's sad, isn't it? But it's another level to be able to take a skilled trade, whether it's laying bricks or a machinist or whatever it is. It may be making beef stroganoff and rhubarb pie. I don't know. But if you don't teach somebody, it's unfortunate that that drops off the radar. This man could teach people, and he did. And the result was initially the tabernacle. And the vessels that was in the tabernacle got taken over into the temple. And people come from, I'm not going to go too far down that way, but the temple and the tabernacle were magnificent manifestations of God's inspiration to the minds and the hands of people. And I hope you can agree with that. So now let's go back. I believe, it's my firm belief, that God wants you to be a capable, talented person in life. He don't want you to be somebody just following the simple orders of a gopher. That's where we all start. He wants us to have a talent. Polish it up. Be good at it. Learn how to develop it to a point that somebody else looks on and says, that's impressive. Okay? So let's go back to Martha. A lot of supposition here on my part, and I freely acknowledge that. But one of my suppositions is that Martha was the older of the three. I don't know. She's the one that kind of took charge. So I'm going to say that she probably was the older one. She immediately began to see to the needs of the visitors. Some people, like I said, have said that she possibly was a widow. If she was a widow, did she have any children? We don't know that. Today's Mother's Day. And I want you that are younger mothers, have your hands full. You got a job on your hands. Everywhere you go, there's something that needs to be done. Many times, you're going to feel like Martha. Not only do you have little ones under your feet, so to speak, calling for you, demanding that you assist them in everything, but you've got this person called your husband that shows up, and he's like the travelers that show up off of the road. He needs some food. He needs a place to sleep. And he might need a little, he might need his feet washed. He's going to need some clean towels in our world today and some washcloths. And he's going to be the one that says, what happened to the soap when it gets in the shower? So you got a lot to stay on top of, and I know that. And I'm very, very grateful that I've had a wife that's been willing to be what the world calls a stay-at-home mom. She's been busy. Sometimes she doesn't get it all done. And sometimes you're not going to get it all done. And you know, Martha felt overwhelmed with all that she needed to get done. Because she saw things that needed to be done that apparently Lazarus and Mary didn't see. At least they didn't see it to the level that Martha did. And this morning, I want you to consider. When she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, this is kind of my words, aren't you a little bit concerned that Mary is not helping me? it's pretty obvious that we've got way more than we're usually used to feeding here. Aren't you concerned? And it seems like when we read this passage of Scripture and what we dwell on so much is Mary chose the better part. Mary chose the better part. Now, if everybody come and only was concerned about doing the better part, and they didn't have any of Martha in them at all, how long would we survive as a society? The point is, we wouldn't. We'd be dirty, and we'd be hungry, and we would have a lot of uncomfortable things, and there would be a lot of complaining in our homes, in our society, in all of that. What I want you to realize is that the older brother and Martha were doing things that God ordained for them to do. They were being responsible, they were being diligent, and they were cultivating God-given talents. But there's something that they shouldn't forget, and you shouldn't forget either. In the busyness of your life, don't forget about the better part. Don't forget that there's a place that you need to come to. When Jesus comes into your presence, the other night, I sat down. I was tired. I sat down in my recliner, picked up my laptop, and I was typing up some notes, and my wife came over and looked over my shoulder, and she thought I was going to be doing something else, but she looked over my shoulder and seen what I was doing, and I said, well, I just got to write it. I got to put this down. It wasn't what we're sharing today, but I got to put this down before it escapes me, all right? Because I've had these inspirational thoughts, and I thought, you know, I think the Lord seems to be wanting to develop this into something, and I went, it's so amazing that I'm never going to forget this, and guess what? When you get home, or if you don't take time to write it down, it's usually gone. And then it's like, Lord, have mercy on me. I know there was something that you wanted me to study on, to meditate on. Don't fail to take the time, whatever you're doing, about the things that God ordains for you to do. And He designed for all of us to work from the very beginning. He designed for us to find fulfillment in our jobs. I did a lot of work yesterday. I did something I've never done, I don't think, on a Saturday. I came in a little after lunch, and I sat down, and I closed my eyes for just a little while. Took a little nap. I told her, I said, I guess I'm getting old. But it felt good, and I got up and went again. Now, I found a level of fulfillment from the things I did, and there's nothing about spirituality, unless the Lord inspires you with it, about fixing a broken fence and cutting a broken tree up and building a fire to burn up the brush. That's not really a spiritual thing. It's something that needs to be done. But I found some gratification and fulfillment in doing that. And don't quit doing that. But when Jesus comes by and visits you with some inspiration, it might be time to write it down, to look up the verse, to take some time right then and say, thank you, Lord, for visiting me with that thought. That's the better part. Jesus wasn't moving in to stay. He was coming to visit. And when He came to visit, it was the better part to stop and think. I don't know what would have happened if Martha had not been preparing food and Jesus had come and she had just sat down and absorbed the presence of Christ. I don't know what would happen. I know what happened when 5,000 people showed up and they just had a couple loaves, a few loaves and a couple fish. I know what Jesus did then. Maybe he could have fed everybody from something that he pulled out of the cupboard. I don't know. But it wasn't that Martha was a horrible person, and it wasn't that the elder brother was a horrible person. It was just at the time, there should have been something else that took precedence. So I want to tell you busy mothers, on Mother's Day, don't quit doing what you're doing. Don't assume that your children and your household will go into autopilot and take care of itself, because it won't, trust me. But take some time for your soul. Take some time to make connection with the Lord. Because the hands that rock the cradle, as the song said earlier that Rodney started for us, maybe we could sing that again, is hands that need to be guided by the unseen hand. And if we don't take time to have a personal connection with the Lord and choose some of that better part, we're going to start griping about those that do. Did you get my point? If we don't choose to take some time for ourselves to reconnect with the Lord and follow those inspirations, yes, Lord, I'll listen. I'll go write my thought down. You can take that to Wednesday night and bless the pastor with a testimony. As I was canning beans or vacuuming the floor or whatever, the Lord brought whatever to your mind. You know what that says to the pastor? It says you didn't just have your head in the sand all week. It says you was listening for the better part. That's what it says. It also tells the Lord, I'm serious about keeping this connection and this avenue open. And you heard me say, I would have been very probably classified as an elder brother or a Martha if Jesus had known me like you know me on a daily basis. Because it's so easy for me to get my head down, to get all of this stuff done that needs to be done. And I'm not caught up. In fact, there's things that if I just let it, I could become overwhelmed and depressed because it's not done. But I have to commit that. And know that taking some time to collect my thoughts and write down what the Lord inspires with me is the better part. So I want to tell you on Mother's Day, take the time. Don't let the love of God leak out of your heart while you're doing the Martha stuff and taking care of the things that really need to be taken care of. We need Marthas that are in touch with God. We need Marthas. We need elder brothers. And we need them that's in touch with God. I'm going to tell you, that's a powerful combination. And when we have that together, folks, it'll make an impact in the world around us. If it's missing, there's going to be something missing in the world around us. You pray for me.